Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everybody, welcome back to One for the Weekend with a very special guest. Rory is here, Flav is away, drank too much whilst he was away and is yet to show up.
That's impressive. So is he still hungover from New Year?
He's yet to.
Three-day hangover.
He's gone, what was it, AWOL. And they said ad hoc.
He's
ad hoc.
He's
now gone AWOL. But Rory's here. Rory's the one. You're the one, mate. You're the straight super sub.
But the trouble is, even I can see it's a downgrade. I actually feel like that.
The only thing is, I feel like I was saying before we started that there's a few bits in here that I normally do sounds and bits and pieces like that. I don't really, you're too suave. With Flav, it feels right. With you, I just feel like I'm letting you down.
No, you can never. You don't have it in you. But no, I think let's stick to. I'm up for this. I'm going
to
commit.
What was it? Yeah. I remember the first time you came on the pod. It was I did the phone call.
Is that still in?
No,
damn it.
Phone call's been gone for a little while.
Yeah, I was baffled. But the thing is, in that situation, you didn't warn me.
It was like Chris Morning.
Because you started doing it. I think the thing that threw me most was not only did you start doing a phone call, which was pretty odd for a podcast.
Sure.
It was then that you answered the podcast as, say, for example, Chris Smalling, which a little bit odd again. But then you gave him an accent that he definitely doesn't
have. The
voice
of Chris Akabusi. Not Chris Akabusi, Chris Eubank.
That's right. Sorry. You just gave him your own voice, which I thought now we're layers here.
I was trying to give you a clear flavour in one punch of One for the Weekend.
Well, it worked.
This is the best podcast you've never heard of. welcome back. The first one of 2019. Flav's not even here. After all the chat last year about possible live shows, he's trying to push that now, isn't he?
Because he's freelancing. That's his thing.
Yeah, he's trying to kind of push that because he does it himself. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see how that goes because I'm not happy. And he's, you know, I don't know where he is the point. But it's an FA Cup weekend. The other problem with this one is we're recording this before Liverpool-Man City.
Yes.
Or Man City-Liverpool, sorry. So we can't divulge in that. But it's FA Cup anyway. So don't worry. And if you're a Chelsea fan, Rory's here to go through all the dealings. The first big deal, the Pulisic deal. And we'll talk about, loads of Chelsea bits. Man United as well. And all your favourites as well. First things first. FA Cup weekend. Loads of fixtures here. And there's a few derby games, Rory.
Mate, you can't beat the FA Cup. FA Cup third
round. Let's do that first before we do our derby games. Because there's nothing nicer than... You're the perfect person for FA Cup third round.
Do you know who I hate?
Actually, we're perfect because we're both sides of the FA Cup coin.
Are you different to me? This is
my experiences. Yeah,
you haven't. I understand why though. As a QPR fan, this isn't me kind of going 1-0 up already.
No,
but as a QPR fan, don't you have the longest record for not having a win in the FA Cup?
We've not won in be it the first round or third round, the initial round that you're in. We've not won. In 90 minutes since 1997.
And there's been some glorious moments within that. You're looking at Vauxhall Motors.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, I wouldn't say glorious, but yeah.
Well, glorious from my perspective.
Glorious from your perspective. We lost to Grimsby, I think. We've lost to...
Mate, Vauxhall Motors has got to be the
pinnacle. Vauxhall Motors was the worst, yeah.
Because they're mechanics.
we've been beaten by mechanics and we drew the first game at their ground, so gotten back to Loftus Road. It'll be fine.
They won at Loftus Road.
They beat us on penalties at Loftus Road. Absolute mess.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. And do you know what always happens with us? And we've got it this time. So we've got Leeds on Sunday.
Where?
At home. Okay. So I'm going to that. It's not like, we always get a really tough away draw. We always get...
We're quite kind.
We get kind. Yeah. Do you know what? We get a team at the top of League One. Like, I think we got Sheffield United or something. We might have been in the Prem or something. we got Sheffield United and they were in League One at that moment in time, something like that. Or we'll get a Championship team that's like just above us.
Yeah. You can't complain at that, though.
I would take that if we had like a decent run. You go, okay, we can win this and do something. But we never do.
Leeds are good. But I think it could be a blessing in disguise because, you know, Leeds aren't going to win the FA Cup, but they could get promoted.
Yeah.
So maybe their manager will be thinking along those lines, which could do you a favour as a home team.
Yeah, true.
Well, they'll have billions of fans down there, won't they? They're such a well-supported club.
Yeah, they are. The thing is, though, that, you know, so QPR are having a season where it's going really well, like surprisingly well. I like, didn't expect it for us to look as though we're going to be as safe as we're going to be.
Yeah.
But I still expect us to make 10 changes. And so if QPR are doing it when they're looking okay at the moment to be safe, could dream of the playoffs,
that's
but
what
really
I was
no
say.
One's thinking of it.
Is that not the hope? Is the aspiration not somehow we're going to scrape into the playoffs here?
I just can't see it. If you look at the league, we're 4 points off and there's teams below us like Villa are still below us, Stoke City.
Well, then
still
you need
below
to be going
us.
All out for the cup. If you're not going to get promoted, you need to be going all out for the cup.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I think but the other problem with the FA Cup is that it's at this stage of the season, everyone's exhausted.
Mate, you're never too exhausted for the FA Cup.
That's true.
The FA Cup means so much to so many. You can't put it down to fatigue.
But all I know is that the FA Cup is important. It will always be important. But
that's the end of your sentence. The FA Cup is important and will always be important. Full stop.
However, I want nothing more than, because that's the dream for a QPR fan. That's actually the dream for
2-0 down, 2-0 down, 3-2 up. QPR won the cup.
We did 1967, and you will remember that one. That was fantastic. But yeah, that is actually the ceiling for a lot of these clubs. So when I was looking at who's a team that you might think might make some changes but won't make changes. League One down, everyone won't. Championship, I honestly think, I bet there'll be an article, because there always is, big article about the amount of teams in the Championship that did that. But I'm looking at Everton, I'm looking at Leicester.
There's only one group of players in the whole world that I legitimately think should make changes. And they are the people wrestling to be promoted to the Premier League. Nobody else.
Not even somebody
who's looking to go down, because it's the FA Cup. The only thing bigger than the FA Cup is promotion to the Premier League. Because they're not going to win the FA Cup. That's the thing. Everton making changes for the FA Cup is crackers for me, because they could win the FA Cup.
Yeah, true. Or they could go really far in it.
Yeah, and then anything happens.
Yeah. Let's have a look at some of the fixtures then. I've got them here. A couple of Derby games out of them as well, which is surprising. Thank you for everyone who wrote in your Derby games. So this is something, one bit that we do, Rory. I don't know if you probably haven't done it with Flav, because he doesn't really produce it.
Well, I like Derby chat.
Well, first derby is from Danny Lightfoot, Newcastle versus Blackburn, which is the we were bigger in the 90s derby.
Okay.
It's also the Alan Shearer derby.
The Alan Shearer derby, yes.
Yeah. As I read these through, if you can spot another one on there.
Okay, this is a great game.
There's a couple of games for Rory.
Well, so yesterday night, for example, Chelsea played Southampton. That's the Craig Nance derby.
That's the Craig Nance derby, whom no one knows.
But I'm playing the game very well.
Right, yeah, that is the idea.
He's from Southampton, he supports Chelsea, it's Craig Nance derby.
Yeah, well, so another example of that, I saw it was, I think it was a guy called Jake maybe, he said that Man United Reading is the Berkshire derby.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, I see what he's doing.
It's a little gag, I like it. Everton versus Leicester, according to Jake, is that we're not getting top six and we're not getting relegated, so we should probably go for a cup run, but we're still going to rotate heavily and get knocked out early on derby.
Oh, yes. This is good.
Okay, Jamie Cooper, he says that Blackpool Arsenal's a big derby game. It's a... the fans hate the owners derby. I mean, there's a few of those probably knocking about. And I tell you, if you're a Blackpool fan, you're probably offended by that.
Massively. Yeah, the owners are incomparable.
Unbelievable. Lucas Smith, Villa versus Swansea, the Tammy Abraham derby. There's another one that's out there.
Too easy.
You can't do that.
Well done. I just saw one of those and I thought, I'm not even going to play that game. I just saw, it's Birmingham. Birmingham are on here somewhere, and I thought it's a Harry Redknapp derby. West Ham, Birmingham.
I said Birmingham.
I thought Harry Redknapp.
Harry Redknapp.
But that's too easy. I'm not going to Harry Redknapp.
I think there was another one. Where is it? Darren Anthony Fox, the Dildo Derby. You've got
better,
Brady,
better,
Solomon Nangold.
Yes, better.
All involved in that one. The reason I put Tammy Abraham there is because I want to talk to you about Tammy Abraham in a second. But you're right. That's bang on. When it was West Ham, Man City, everyone's going Pellegrini Derby.
No.
Steve Lomas Derby.
Yes. Yes. So much better.
So, yeah. There's a few derbies out there. Any more, let me know in the comments below. But yeah, I want to talk about Tammy Abraham for a second. Because Chelsea have said he's not for sale.
Yeah, he is though, isn't he?
Not for sale maybe this year. So Wolves are interested in him. He's on loan at Aston Villa. Scored 2 goals against QPR the other day. 16 goals this season already. I expected him to go down and smash it up, especially at Aston Villa, because they should be winning a lot of games. But this kind of links into a lot of the Chelsea chat that we can kind of have with Pulisic and Hudson-Odoi and Ruben Loftus-Cheek and all these other young players that you've got that are brilliant. Why are Chelsea saying that Tammy Abraham's not for sale when you might as well sell him because he's never going to play for you?
Yeah, I think, sadly, it's not a point I agree with, but I think that's probably spot on. I don't think that Tammy Abraham is in our thoughts at all for first team football. I think you say that somebody isn't for sale because you don't accept a first offer and you try and drive the price up, and you therefore, it's a business transaction.
Do you know, am I being a bit harsh in saying that even Tammy Abraham, who's, I'm guessing he's 20, 21, are we looking at it too soon? Do we have to look at footballers now as they need to be ready to step in and totally do it? And so a Rashford is an anomaly, whereas these you need to get to 22, 23 like Jesse Lingard was before you can actually be ready to play.
The trouble is, to play for Chelsea, you don't have to be a good striker, which Tammy Abraham is undoubtedly. You have to be one of the best strikers in the world. In principle, and look, Alvaro Morata
that needs to be
a very
different
story,
of you. Yeah,
but that's
yeah.
who you have to be.
Yeah.
So it's virtually impossible to break through in that position, to lead the line for Chelsea, because Chelsea don't have time for you to bed in.
It's such a glamour position
as
well.
It's such a glamour position. It's where our marquee sign, Alvaro Morata has been an abysmal signing, but he's still our most expensive player ever. Mm. Therefore, Tammy Abraham cannot do that at the moment. You know, it would be crazy.
I guess if you're Tammy Abraham, you're always looking for a kind of a new route to that, if you want to. Because he should have the kind of, audacity is the wrong word, but belief in himself that he can go and play for Chelsea at some point. But like the route maybe is like Christensen. And we're seeing it more and more, actually. A lot of players going to Germany,
I think,
going to other leagues.
Do you know what, the thing is, we've seen this story. It's a very well-told one from Chelsea. There's been a lot of players who have been on Chelsea's books who people have got very excited about, who ultimately have left. Nobody, with the exception of the obvious, because nobody was surprised that Romelu Lukaku went on to score loads of goals for Everton and subsequently Manchester United. Equally, nobody was surprised that Kevin De Bruyne has gone on to be a great player.
Or Salah.
But Salah
was a
Salah
bit
was
of a surprise,
again though. He was a big player when he came. But the big names at Chelsea, you had the likes of Jeremy Boga, you had the likes of Patrick Bamford, you had, there's been
Gael Kakuta, wasn't
Gael anyone? Kakuta, yeah. There's been a lot of players who Lucas Piazon was another one, really lot of hype, a lot of expectation. None of those players that Chelsea have let go and made a lot of money on have come back to bite us on the arse yet.
Right.
So I do think that the club, I don't necessarily like the way that they employ and do business, but I think that the club have got it right, because nobody that we've let go and turned a pro. So Christian Atsu, for example, he had a big future. There was a time when he looked very good. We sold him for £8 million. Mm. He's not worth £8 million today at Newcastle.
I don't even know what £8 million's worth nowadays, but I get your point. One thing I would say is that there are different tiers of player, and so that probably just fits the percentage of great players to average players.
I think the question regarding Abraham has to be this. Is Tammy Abraham going to be a world-class centre-forward? And if the answer to that is yes, then Chelsea are making the wrong decision. And by world-class, I do mean the elite. Mm. I mean, like, Chelsea are going to sign at some point, whether it's in this window, the next window, or the one after. Chelsea will go and spend £85 million on one of the best strikers in the world.
Yeah.
If Tammy Abraham isn't that, he's never going to get in over that person, and therefore he needs to leave. For his own sake, for our sake, and for the club that he goes to sake.
Would you, if he was in your squad now, would he...
Yeah, I'd play him.
he'd get a run, wouldn't he?
I'd play him now. I think he's...
So shouldn't he, like Harry Kane did, should be kind of... He has to be there and waiting in the wings.
Yeah, James, I'm not saying what I agree with. I'm saying what I think the reality of the situation is. The way that I would like... If I was chairman of this club, which, you know, the night is young, we never know how life's going to end.
One day.
But if I was the chairman of the club, Tammy Abraham should... Like, Alvaro Morata...
If he did become chairman of Chelsea, would you hire Statman Dave as your manager? Because he has strong beliefs. He wants to be a manager. Would you do that in this fictional world that we're living in?
Statman Dave has told me that he's going to win a Champions League. And for that reason alone, I'd love Chelsea to win another Champions League. So, yes.
That's a win-win, isn't it?
It's a win-win.
That's great. Sorry.
But no, back, like, on a more realistic note...
go on, Dave.
I think that Tammy Abraham is the best striker available to Chelsea at the moment. But it's irrelevant. It would be... Tammy Abraham has as much chance of playing for Chelsea in a Premier League match this season as I do.
Yeah.
So we have to deal with... We're dealing in idealism if we think that Tammy Abraham is an option here.
But what about even over the Christmas period? That's when you often see these kids get their debuts, get their starts. Have you seen that at all over the Christmas period? Have there been any of those youngsters playing?
No, well, it's an interesting one because the genre of Chelsea fan who love the youth. You know, there's a very, you know, people who are called like Hazard's Rabona on Twitter and hate me. They love Sarri. You know, they love the process and they're really into Sarri as a man. And they're also into youth football.
Mm.
Sarri not interested.
Right.
Not interested in the kids at all. Like, he really isn't. And I understand why, because he's been brought into a club where he, you know, results are demanded immediately and we must qualify for the Champions League and you can't risk putting a kid in there because it may not work.
Well, that's why I wonder if that's the route now, is that you have to be 23, 24,
maybe,
ready to
maybe.
Go and, but and deliver.
Do you know what my logic would be? I think that if you look at Chelsea's options at the moment, right, Olivier Giroud scored a fantastic goal against Crystal Palace. It was ruled out and he got injured. So we've got three options. He's out.
Mm.
Alvaro Morata is 100% not good enough. So he's out. Tammy Abraham might be good enough. So just pick him because I know Alvaro Morata's crap. So you might as well just pick the bloke who might not be crap over the bloke who I know for a fact is.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That can't be... That's me talking to
you. No, no, that makes total sense though, mate. That makes total sense.
But you're effectively what we're asking Sarri to do is pick a bloke who's scoring goals for Villa fairly regularly over a bloke who's won the Champions League twice.
But I also... But for the whole season...
Do you hear that, though?
I hear you,
That's crazy.
Yeah, I get it. But for the whole season, you've just had two strikers then.
But then remember,
we play
Hazard as a false nine,
right.
Which is mental.
You don't think that works?
Well, no. I mean, we've had a good result. It happened against City, but the City result papered over a lot of cracks. But you've got the best winger in the league, and you're playing him up front. So not only do you lose a really good striker because he's not a striker, you also lose the best winger in the league. This is my issue with Sarri. We've got the best winger in the league, you're playing him up front. We've got the best defensive midfielder in the league, and we're playing him as an attacking midfielder. It's mental. Like,
yeah.
Eden Hazard isn't a centre forward. Nobody could make a case for that his best position on a football pitch is centre forward.
No, I would agree with that. But I guess it's about options, isn't it? And if you don't want to play Morata, and you've got Pedro and Willian, and you're having to drop one of those two, then maybe that's your way around it. And the Kante thing, I watched a couple of videos about him, and he's playing defensive midfield. He's just playing it really far up. And I can understand the idea behind it, but ultimately, there's a reason why people are defensive midfielders.
Yeah.
It's because, and I'm one of them, you're not good at finishing.
You're just not good at... Kante scored a couple of goals this season. And, you know, he smashed one in against City, great finish. He scored one against Palace, he did well, he took it on the chest, he finished with his weaker foot. But... I mean, that bobbled over the light. It was a bobbler. He scored on the opening day as well. I mean, his shin had gone in. He's not a natural... You know, Frank Lampard was a natural finisher from midfield.
Yeah.
N'Golo Kante isn't that, but we're playing him there to accommodate Jorginho, who, for me, doesn't do enough. He just doesn't do enough. I mean, that's not a hipster's approach to football. But he just knocks it aside. It's so boring.
I think he's as good as the players around him sometimes. Like Alonso played in amazing teams and he was an amazing footballer, But he wasn't a, you know, he wasn't a quick footballer. Mm. He wasn't great at dribbling. His passing range was great, but he did things quickly. Mm. I think Jorginho has the ability to do things quickly, but I don't think he's always got those players to
do you know how
to
uninspiring
give to
him. It is,
although saying that, your midfield's really good.
Midfield's really good, but the trouble is, it's so uninspiring. We were 0-0 at home to Southampton in the last minute. Southampton, relegation fodder.
Yeah, yeah.
When the ball comes into Jorginho, he knocks it back to Luis. Luis knocks it back to him. Southampton thinking, lovely, thank God.
Your time.
Yeah. You think, should we just try something else? Like, just, I appreciate the system and I appreciate the process, but should we just try? Just knock it long, maybe. You never know. Let's just put the ball in their box and hope for the best.
But again, and that's it, you know, like I was saying with Kante, that's why I don't think you're getting the best out of him there, is because, you know, when you're, this happened to me actually once. I was like, third year at uni, right? All I wanted to do is play uni football. It was like Wembley last year.
What uni are we at? Let's set the scene here.
So we're at Sheffield Hallam University.
Right.
First year wasn't good enough. I played right back and it was stupid.
First team though?
No, sorry. I went to the trials, didn't get in.
Right.
Second year, I went, I'm going to go centre midfield this year. I played incredible. Very long story short, one of the managers thought they'd picked me because everyone called me Jimmy. But actually, he'd picked someone called Jim Me.
No way.
And so the rest of them went, oh, he's gone.
Okay.
And I bumped into one of those guys like 2 weeks in. I was like, how are you getting on? He's like, yeah, good, how are you getting on in the seconds? So I was like, I didn't get picked, what are you in about? Anyway, third year, I know all these guys now because I've played so much football with them all. One of them comes up to me and goes, shows me his team, I'm in his team already. No. So I'm like, don't do that to me.
Wow.
I don't need this.
Wow.
And anyway, I got through that bit and didn't play great. But then we played an intramural game. And because he'd seen me playing like eight aside on AstroTurf and like passing it about, doing all this stuff, he was like, oh, he's an attacking midfielder. He must be an attacking midfielder. So he put me in a diamond formation.
Oh, God.
Into attacking midfielder.
Horrible position.
And I was so bad.
It's horrible.
Because some players like to see everything.
Yeah.
And some people just like to be instinctive and do stuff. And Kante's not that guy.
Oh, exactly. Do you know what? I've found that. Obviously, because of my age that is going up so rapidly.
I'm
officially a senior at football, right? I found myself playing at fullback and I've generally played midfield. Right. Do you know, I mean, everyone watching this, anyone who's played football will completely empathise with this, how wonderful it is to play at fullback. The ball up and you've only got to look like that. It's wonderful. Basically, if you look forwards and you look to your left, like where I play right back, if nobody's there, all the time in the world. You know when I used to pick the ball up central midfield? You think you've got to have eyes up your arse, you don't know where it's coming from. You play the first time ball just to make sure that you retain possession. It's a breath of fresh air. I love it. I feel like an all-time in the world.
Nearly to love.
Stroll on the beach.
Sticking with young players, Pulisic is the man who's come in.
Yes.
And what was it? 57.5 million. He's played 115 games for Dortmund in all competitions.
That's
to make his
so
debut
many.
In 2016. 20, I think.
20
he is.
Years old to have played.
15
that
goals, 24 assists, which I like that there's more assists, and that's a decent number there. But yeah, the amount of goals isn't huge. But he is that kind of player who's sort of drives with the ball, and then has, you know, like we were just saying, he's not like a right back, right in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
He's happy to sort of drive through with the ball and then play the ball. He's got great quick feet, but he's only started 5 games this season, so. What do you think of this signing?
I'm really excited. I think it's great news with a caveat. And the caveat is, if we're signing Pulisic to ultimately maybe replace Willian, maybe replace Pedro and improve our team, I think it's a great signing. If we're buying Pulisic ultimately to replace Eden Hazard, then it's a terrible signing.
I see your point. Yeah.
If he's been bought in to improve what is currently there, then it's only good. If he's been bought in to, you know, he is not a replacement for Eden Hazard.
No.
And therefore the team, the average skill and ability of that team is going to decrease.
And I guess the thing I worry about with this is I watched a couple of videos about him signing. And I wanted to watch, I think it was ESPN. Because I wanted to see how the Americans looked at it. And the Americans were like, the rise continues.
They love him, don't they?
Ever signing from an American.
And don't for one second think that sentence that you've just said isn't within the Chelsea, like the decision making process to sign a player like this.
Well,
Chelsea are desperately trying to crack America now.
For a guy who scored, you know, an attacking player who scored 15 goals in 115 games, that's not a lot.
No.
Now I know that he's young and there's an education that kind of comes with all of that. So that's fine. But 60 million, the reason it's that much is that element of the him being an American. Because I think a lot of people were circling for him, aren't they?
Do you know what I think there is as well? It's very rare that you get an opportunity as a football club to buy two things at once. And that's what we've got here. And the only other player that I can think where you had this opportunity was Raheem Sterling. Effectively, what you're buying when you buy a player like, say, Sterling, when he went from Liverpool to City, and what we've buying with Pulisic, you're buying a finished article because he's played over 100 games, so he's obviously a finished article. But you're also buying potential in the same player. Mm. So you're buying
potential. I'm not sure it's a finished article.
No, players will improve and their game will amend for the rest of their life, but.
But yeah,
he's played 100 games, so yeah, he is a proven player. So you can buy a proven player and a player with potential. Most of the time, you can't buy that in one. You buy potential. Gizzo, who's played, never. Kevin De Bruyne had played twice when Butcher and Gladbach bought him from us. Butcher and Gladbach, I think so.
Was it Bremen? Werder Bremen?
No, well, a German club bought Kevin De Bruyne. Bremen. They were buying the potential because he only played two games for Chelsea.
Got you.
He's played 100 games and he's 20.
Yeah.
So you're buying both.
True. And he's playing in a position where it's about intelligence as well. So you do need that game time to do that. I mean, he hasn't had that much this year.
Yeah.
The thing I would... And I'm a QPR fan, so I kind of...
Worry about him not getting in their team.
I would worry as a Chelsea... If I were to be a Chelsea fan, heaven forbid, that... There's a huge amount of pressure on this lad, and he's going to be. It doesn't feel totally like a Shevchenko or a Torres, but it feels like it could. It's a huge amount of pressure that either he'll thrive on or he'll really struggle with. Like, it feels a bit Morata-ish.
No, I don't think so. I think that the position that he plays, there isn't that pressure. It's a number nine thing. Like, it doesn't matter what shirt you wear. It's the position. And also, people say the number nine cursed shirt of Chelsea. And this isn't true at all. Peter Osgood, Jimmy Floyd, Hasselbank, they were fantastic players. Mm. But it's a thing, the number nine shirt of Chelsea. So I don't think it's the same. But of course, there is an expectation on Pulisic. And he needs to hit the ground running because the club need him to. Mm. Because I think Pedro is a masterful football player. But his contract's over in 2020. And... he's not young. Willian isn't popular. He makes wrong decisions. I like him. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. Probably don't think he's good enough for us anymore, but I don't mind him. But he's hated. Yeah. Somebody needs to come in. Because those three, Hazard, Pedro, Willian, they all finished 2020.
Really?
Yeah. So we desperately need wingers.
Yeah.
If Hazard doesn't sign and our wingers are Pedro, Willian and Pulisic... that's not good enough.
Mm. What about Hudson-Odoi? How does he come into all of this? Do you think he'll...
I really, really hope that...
It feels like... So you're going to come to an end of a cycle and then you're going to start again a little bit.
Yeah. But with Hudson-Odoi, I think the club will not let him go. The only way they let him go now is if Bayern Munich do something which, from their perspective, they should do, which is make it impossible for us not to accept, which would be 20 million quid. If they do that, I'll be heartbroken because he's the one for me. He's the jewel in the crown.
Right.
Like, this youth team has been so good. It won everything under Jody Morris. It really was a brilliant team. And Hudson-Odoi needs to be given first team football at Chelsea.
Do you do the old, what about the 2-year loan with him? Do you think that might work?
Yeah, maybe, but we need players now.
It's going to work for you guys.
We need players now, though. Like, Pedro, here's a perfect question. Is Hudson-Odoi at least as good as Willian now? And I would say probably yes, because Willian is on really poor form.
Really?
Yeah, really poor. I've never known.
I feel like a bit of pace sometimes.
Just doesn't score any goals either.
Yeah.
There's no goals in our team. Mm. There really isn't. We're so flat on that front. So I think that Hudson-Odoi needs to be given a chance. But again, being realistic about it, it's obviously not going to happen. I just don't want him to sell him. Just don't sell him to Munich. Because that's a disaster. That is a complete disaster.
What is he? He's one you see like a De Bruyne, like a. You see
he's the one it. I think. Like, we've seen it all before, but he is the one I think has star quality. I think Tammy Abraham's a great player, and I'd like to think that he could make it at Chelsea. But from what I've seen of him, he's going to have a really good career, but probably not at the level that we are playing at. We're operating at a level that is trying to win the Champions League. I don't think Tammy Abraham is going to be that player.
Yeah.
But I think Hudson-Odoi is.
I hope he does. I
hope he does, obviously.
I hope he does, just because I think there's an element with English eyes. When you look at English players, you always think they're kind of, there's a limit to them. And I'm hoping that these guys aren't. Do you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
No, but, I do know what you mean. But do you know who's changed all that? Is the one of the reasons that we've probably got hold of Pulisic? Sancho.
Sancho, yeah.
You're suddenly looking at this English kid and you're like, this kid's going to win a Ballon d'Or.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Amazing.
He's going to win a Ballon d'Or.
He's absolutely tearing it up. It's crazy.
Mate, he's so disgusting on skills. He's so disgusting. So I feel sorry for people when it happens, because it happens to me. But do you know what it's comparable to? You know, if you're playing football, you've got like a little cousin or something, like a 6-year-old or 5-year-old. You know, when you've got the ball with a 5-year-old and you're just swining him up and he can't do anything about it. That's what he does to professional footballers.
And he's so young.
He's so young. He's a child. He's a child.
He's a fucking child.
He's a child.
It's great. Mate, we're good. Do you know, I was chatting to my mate the other day and he said, Craig, not that Craig, another one, Stoke fan. And as long as we've been doing Great Touch for a Big Lad, our podcast, he said, I'm not watching Qatar 2020. Not watching it. It's disgraceful.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Happened there. And it is a disgrace what happens there.
I see respect in that.
Yeah, I don't
agree with it,
that.
But I see his point, yeah.
But I've always gone, I can't say that because I don't know what I'm going to be doing with my job, blah, blah, blah.
And basically, my friend Craig has got a real high moral compass, and I can't say that because I haven't.
No, I'm saying if I've got a job, I need to keep my job. No,
but James, I know where you work. I know the people you work with. I can guarantee you, if you say to them, I cannot do that on principle, they'd never make a vegetarian eat meat.
No.
They will never make you do that.
That's true, okay.
So if you really
I'll mull that over. Anyway, I said to him that.
But, you know, if bullshit are going to send me to Qatar, so be it.
It's only a 4-hour flight. But I said to him, the one World Cup you're going to skip,
is the one where England are going to win it.
Can you imagine that? Yeah. How do you feel if that happens?
Do you know horrible. What? I was having this conversation about the World Cup final. My life changed a bit. But prior to some news I had, I was convinced that no matter what it took, England, I was going to go to the final. So much so that I started doing a fund, like saving up. I was thinking, how much will it cost? And how much am I ready to pay? If England get to the World Cup final in Qatar, will you go? Like, you can't, I don't think that, as an England supporter, the way that we both are, I don't think that you can allow a situation to happen where England win a World Cup and you're not in the stadium.
I pray that I'm working. I don't really want to work it. Do you know what I mean? I hope that I'm involved in some way and it's at high enough of a level. But even saying that, because that's my dream's always been to present a World Cup final. It's always been my dream. Yeah. Like, from the start of my career. So if that opportunity comes, then that's going to be amazing. But if England are in it, I don't know if I want to work that.
I would do. I think that
you just want to be.
Obviously, this is really easy to say, but I think that there is you've got to remember, we're getting older. You're only going to live for however many years, and you can't take any money with you. So you can spend, right? This has always been my philosophy, which is why I've got no money, but this has always been my philosophy. So if you want a nice John Smedley top, you buy yourself one. If you want to go to a World Cup final, you have to go. I think that if England got to a World Cup final, I would have to be there and I would pay anything. Genuinely.
Would it have to be a financial thing, though? What if there was kind of, I don't
think they'd accept my time. I mean, they're welcome to it, and it's for sale, and it's cheap. It's really cheap. But yeah, my body, my time, it's all for sale. I'm very much for sale. But I would do anything it took to get.
Sure, let us know in the comments below. So, your club, be it Champions League final, or, but really, I mean, some of them don't like England.
No, but you, but
your
World
team,
Cup
World
final.
Cup final.
Look, would you?
How much?
Let's
would you
pretend
pay?
You're in this situation. Say, which is right. Say you have. I don't even know if you do. But say you had £10,000.
I don't.
Which is a lot of money, right? You know, that's kind of a good step towards a deposit for a property. Or whatever.
Yeah.
But England get to the final.
Oof.
And I say I'll have a ticket, but it's £10,000, which is, you know, not far off, you know, that's pretty much 6 months' salary for the average wage in this country. 6 months' work for 90 minutes of football. I think that's money well spent.
What if you lose, though? I guess as you... You can't think like that. You've got to go, look, if we lose, we lose. The important thing is I'm there.
You're there.
Yeah.
And also, if you win, you're part of history.
Yeah.
I
was there.
You're part
you'll have
of
the rest of your life.
You're part of history.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
I'm like that about Trevor Sinclair's bicycle.
Were you there? Barnsley.
Yeah. Last time, 1997, last time we won an FA Cup game. That
was we tied that in perfectly.
Perfectly. Right, let's move on. We're going to talk about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in just a second. But this now it's time for...
Who am I?
Normally we put a reverb there and I shout it, but I won't be doing it for Rory's delicate ears. Last week, so we've got FA Cup special this time.
Do you not do it as like Beanie Man? Who am I? That's a great opportunity to give it like,
any
who am I? I'm the golden sugar. You could have, like, you've missed a massive opportunity there.
Next week.
You don't need to shout Beanie Man. You don't need to shout who am I? You just play Beanie Man. Who
am I? Right. You're going to get a copyright strike. We're not allowed that. So last time we asked you this, oh shit, I didn't put the answer. I can't remember who it was.
Don't worry, I'll get it right.
I was born in 1990. I'm a Premier League winner and I've also played in the Champions League. I never made any Premier League appearances for my first club. Oh, I know who it is. And I had 4 loan moves before joining a championship club in 2011. I have won international caps for my country. Who am I? That was last week's one. Give me 5 seconds.
Ryan Bertrand.
He's in your squad. 5, 4. Danny Drinkwater.
Oh, God. Is he born in 1990?
Yeah.
He must have had an uphill paper round.
Yeah, he does look uphill. Right, this week, I've got 3 FA Cup ones that I thought I'd test you with.
Okay.
Right? Who is the only Scouser to win the FA Cup for both Liverpool and Everton?
And he's a Scouser?
Yeah.
Gary Ablett.
Correct. Well done. Very good. Flavid never got that. Which player played in 7... Oh, fuck, I don't know the answer. I do. Which player played in 7 FA Cup finals between 1991 and 2005? If you can't
Mark
get
Hughes?
It... No.
Ashley Cole?
No. That's a good guess.
Coutinho.
Let us know in the comments below. You'll find out next week. And last one. Which 5 goalkeepers played in 2 or more FA Cup finals between 2000 and 2009? The noughties. 5 goalkeepers played in 2 or more. Can you name any of them?
Seaman?
Seaman is one.
Petr Cech?
Yes.
Jens Lehmann?
No.
What are the dates?
In the noughties.
2 more FA Cup finals.
There's 5. Okay.
I'll keep thinking.
Let us know in the comments below. All right, let's talk about Man United, who have won...
Van der Sar?
No. Man United. What I want to talk about Man United, obviously, Gunnar Solskjaer's come in. 4 wins on the bounce against pretty easy teams, to be fair.
Well, this is it, James. This is it. This is what nobody's saying. Mourinho wins those fixtures.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Or does he?
He doesn't win it in the pomp that they won it, but he wins those fixtures.
And then everything's okay.
They beat Newcastle under Mourinho before, that 3-2 game. They were 2-0 down, they won 3-2.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
let's... People are getting...
They might have drawn... Like, I don't know. They drew with Southampton, they drew with Palace...
I think that he's done very well, Solskjaer. I think they're playing nice football, and most importantly, there's a smile on the players' faces, and that is so valuable.
But it's mad how valuable that is, isn't it?
It's probably the most important thing. Put it this way, an unhappy squad won't win anything.
Yeah, exactly. Do you see any sort of parallels with life after Mourinho with Chelsea? Because you're in that horrible... It's the same day, isn't it?
There's a terrible comparison that is feeling quite real, that is very worrying, which is we had André Villas-Boas. Villas-Boas, we hated, he left, he went to Tottenham, he's, you know, been eradicated from my mind, if possible. That year he left, we were a very average team, we finished sixth in the league. Our legend, a man who has had more contribution to defining moments in Chelsea's history than anyone else. Fastest goal at Wembley, you know, scored the last goal at the old Wembley, came back as a manager.
Who am I?
Yeah, exactly, Roberto Di Matteo.
Yeah.
Right? It feels a little bit Solskjaer.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Feels a little bit Solskjaer.
That's a great point.
They've got a nice draw in Europe. Yeah,
there's no consequences really, is there? The only thing he could do is do better.
Pogba's playing with a smile on his face, and I rate Pogba so high. I think Paul Pogba is so good. You know, when there was talk of him being unhappy and he's going to have to leave, I was thinking, why are we not doing this? He's so fucking good at football. Just get him.
They never sell it to you, is it?
No, well, I don't know. You'd say that, but then you look at Matic and you look at Mata. And I know, but...
That was you.
I would say they shouldn't, but I was just thinking, they need him out of the club. Mourinho wanted him out of the club. Just get him, because he's brilliant. Like, anyone who doesn't think he's brilliant doesn't see it.
I want to see it against a top team. It's Huddersfield, Cardiff... Bournemouth on the worst run.
No, but I mean, aside, I'm not even talking about his performances lately. Just overall, Paul Pogba is such a good football player.
Right.
And I think that we should have tried to get hold of him. But him playing as he can, controlling the tempo of the game, scoring big goals, if he can get his act together, if they can get the forwards firing, you never know. And that's a terrifying thought. I also think they're going to get fourth spot.
I wouldn't be surprised. I've said it from the start. I just think that Arsenal squad's not anywhere near.
Us. Chelsea. True,
yeah, sorry. But I think they'll leapfrog Arsenal,
I think,
for sure.
Yeah, and us, though. I think the problem...
Although, saying that again, talking nonsense. I think they're all much of a matches at the moment, because you can't score a goal.
Tottenham City and Liverpool make it, right? No matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, the top three.
Tottenham City, so there's one place up for grabs, which... seemed like it was between Chelsea and Arsenal. It's now not between Chelsea and Arsenal, is it?
I think you'll find that out in the next four games, because...
Yeah, I agree.
Because
that.
how easy these first four games were.
Agreed.
And also, the Christmas period is just everyone's knackered, so weird results happen. It happens every single year. But I tell you what, if he does really, really well... there will be this pressure to give him the job.
Which could be good long term.
Yeah, which is good long term.
Could be
good
long term. Because, mate, I read an article in the Times that the Cardiff fan had written about Solskjaer, and he was funny. The Cardiff fan was really funny. He was just like, he honestly thinks Solskjaer is a moron.
Really?
Yeah, and he wrote it really well.
The way he talks is a bit...
Yeah, he thinks he's a moron. Like, this Cardiff fan...
He used the word lackadaisy.
Did he?
Yeah.
How does he know that?
I don't know. It's lackadaisical, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Has he even aware of that?
Because he's just like, I guess he was a long time in Manchester. He's got that twang. He's got that shack in his twang.
It's so funny when that happens. Have you ever heard Jan Molby speak?
No.
Jan Molby is obviously Norwegian, but he speaks with like the most broad Scouse accent.
Really?
Yeah.
Like
a hybrid between like Norwegean and Scouse.
So you think they'll finish above Chelsea?
I think they could. The only thing we have over them is we've got a gap already. So effectively, all we have to do is match their results.
Mm.
They need to demonstrate almost title-winning form.
Yeah.
To catch us.
Yeah. That's true.
But if they do, like, Chelsea are there for the taking. If somebody does it,
it shows, doesn't it, that you like it? Just the feeling amongst players and their general form. You look at that squad now, and all of a sudden, instead of saying the names, you go Sanchez, Martial. Pogba's flying, Rashford's on fire, Lukaku's banging in goals. That's five players.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, their whole squad just looks different. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So have a look at those fixtures. Quick one on the FA Cup.
What are you feeling?
Give us a prediction.
Okay.
What do you think?
For what?
I want a shock. Yeah, I want two shocks.
Is Birmingham City beating West Ham shockable?
Yeah.
Okay, so that one then. West Ham out of the cup.
Okay. Go on, give us one more. I think guaranteed Derby County win over Southampton, which isn't even a shock, really.
And I think Blackburn Rovers could nick something against Newcastle United.
Where's Huddersfield? Who are they playing?
Huddersfield.
Oh, they're not on there. There's a load of games on. Oh, they are. Bristol City. Ooh. Yeah, go on.
Bristol City. Been on good form.
Have they?
Yeah, Bristol City been playing well.
And massive shock, QPR to win this week. Come on. Please.
Yeah, that's God's a big shame. Yeah.
It was incredible. We made history the other day.
Beat Forest. You haven't won at Forest, yeah.
35 attempts.
I remember, I'm not a gambling man, right? Never have been. It's just not something I enjoy at all. One Boxing Day, I ended up in a bookies. So I did, you know when you do like 10 games or something? I didn't know what, and I put £2 on it, £3 or something. And I was terrified. I was like, oh, what a waste. It's just not my bag at all. So Boxing Day, 5 years ago or something. The night game, I got them all right. And the night game was QPR Forest. And I had Forest to win.
A couple of years ago.
I had Forest to win. And they did. And yeah, I was like, oh my God, I'm amazing. I'm showing
everyone. 4-0 or something.
I'm showing, they pissed it. Yeah, I'm showing everyone, right? I've got 10 things right. I was like, look at that, I'm rich. Because I put only £2 or £3 on it. I got like £55 on it.
Right.
I was like, no,
bloody hell, mate. Been like, that shows the odds on QPR within the City ground. But yeah, we did it. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I remember watching that game and just being so invested. One Boxing Day night.
Did you never look? Did you not say at the bottom how much you'd win?
Yeah, no, I don't. Mate, I'm not a professional guy. I don't get it at all. I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
It's very intimidating in a bookies as well. Have you ever been in one of them?
But yeah, we're just, yeah.
So intimidating.
It's very smelly.
So intimidating.
Footballers Wangs. Now, the reason I like this one is because you don't know this person. Very few people will know this person. So Footballers Wangs, if someone spotted someone's penis.
Oh, right.
And footballers. And it's just something that's just kind of got away from me now. And now it's part of the podcast.
So there's a segment on this podcast where people write in and say, so you'd write in and go, so when I was 16, I played football in the same team as Marks Rashford.
Yeah.
And I've seen his penis and describe it.
No, it's more like, so I was in this bar and couldn't believe it.
I was in his bar, Ross Barkley was in there, suddenly...
Ross Barkley is one, we've had Ross
really?
Barkley. Apparently he's got pipe. Yeah, apparently he's very solid, yeah. Dennis Wise, less so. But I have asked for the month of the year and the temperature. Because I think...
And age as well. Wise, he's older, you've got to give him a bit of grace here.
Okay. But yeah, the thing I like about this one is that I'm going to read this out to you, and this is all you'll ever know about this person.
Okay.
And so sometimes it's good to like... You know, sometimes you just have weird stats on people.
Yeah.
This is the only thing you're going to know. Footballers Wang, Sebastian Rodriguez. Thank you very much, mate, for writing in and sharing. A few years back, my grandparents and I visited my brother in Vancouver, where we're Costa Rican, and this was when Christian Balanos and Kendall Waston were at the Vancouver Whitecaps. Omitting some details, my grandfather knows some people at the Costa Rican FA. We were able to get not only tickets to the game, but also went out for dinner with Christian, Kendall and their families. At some point, my brother had to piss, and it just so happens Christian followed him to the bathroom. Later, my brother told me he caught a sneaky glimpse of his log. And people always put... Everyone has their own little weird word for penis.
Bit of a slang log. Version, okay.
Glimpse of his log. Nothing interesting to report, unfortunately. I guess some people are unremarkable on and off the pitch.
Right.
So an average size. So if anyone ever brings up Christian Balanos Navarro, Costa Rican footballer, he was a winger, let you have that. Just go, you know, he's got an average size penis.
I think an average sized penis isn't an insult though.
I think average size
is
it's average, isn't it?
It's average.
Yeah, yeah. You can live with that.
Yeah,
if anything you're like, oh, he's one of us.
Yeah. Average size is fine. Because also average is probably the most desirable.
Yeah.
At least from a female's perspective.
Yeah. Maybe not. My wife says that as well.
Maybe not from a man's perspective, but I think... No, I'm standing by that.
Okay,
you disagree? You definitely disagree.
I don't know. Fuck. Who knows? Seems to work.
Yeah.
Yours do. Right. Find a way. Another segment.
Okay.
Segment zone now, Rory.
Right.
Hashtag find a way. This is when someone has found a way
to watch the football. So remember last year we had Soldiers Lost in Battle?
Yeah.
This year, flipped on its head, and this is how someone's gone the extra mile to watch the football. So I'm going to put on some epic music in the edit to this. But you'll just have to hear that in your head now. So Carlos Bishop, it was year 11 and I'm an Arsenal fan and we were playing Hull in the FA Cup final, first game in years. First game in years? First FA Cup final in years. I live in New Zealand, so games are on early in the morning. It started around 7-ish, if I recall correctly, and I tried to fake being sick to not go to school.
Can you imagine that? FA Cup final at like 8 in the morning.
Yeah, what happened to us during the World Cup? Do you remember the World Cup in 2002?
Yeah.
I remember meeting my mate in the pub and I was like, okay, see you in a pub for the football, we'll meet you there at 6:30.
It's awful. Awful, isn't it? It's
having a pint at 6:30. Like, what
horrible.
Is happening?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. So he tried to fake being sick to not go to school. We went one goal down and then another, feeling like it was all going to go wrong, just as it did in the Carling Cup final against Birmingham earlier that season. I then get forced to go to school. I go to school and we're still a goal down. My friend's joking with me about it as I'm watching it before school starts. Then school, right as the bell rings to go to class, Cazorla was standing over the free kick and all my mates and I are watching it on his phone, I guess, and we're going to go to class after the free kick. Cazorla whips it into the top right corner and the game's back on. I have to go to maths class and we're doing a thing called mathletics on the computer. I find an illegal stream to watch it on the other tab, and we're still 2-1 down later on. Then I see Koscielny score. I struggle to stay in my seat with the excitement I felt. Into extra time it goes, and a few minutes in to it, my teacher sees what I'm doing and tells me to get it off. I pretend to close the tab, but think that I can't miss the biggest game of my club in years, and that it's worth the risk of a detention, so I just switch tabs. Then I wait about 3 or 4 minutes, and there it is, Giroud holding up the ball, and Ramsey toe pokes it in, and I jump up, and then I remember I'm in maths class, and just acted like my pants were uncomfy, like you got an itchy bum. I get a few weird looks, but I barely noticed and quite frankly couldn't care less. We've scored in extra time in the cup final. The best day of my life.
Well played.
Found a way.
Well played, sir.
Sorry, poor reading for me there. It's really small.
Disappointing headlines time. This was sent to me by someone, I can't remember the name, really sorry. Flav probably didn't do this with you either. It's just, yeah, a disappointing headline from the world of football. So football fans can't keep their hands off Cristiano Ronaldo's statue's crotch, says the New Zealand Herald.
Okay.
So basically what's happened is Ronaldo's got a statue in, is it Madeira?
Must be.
So this is the statue.
Okay.
And
people keep doing that.
Yeah, people could. So he's been given a sort of a fairly sized, mm-hmm. tying it in again, footballer's wang. And what keeps happening is people keep seeing it and therefore touching it. And so now, because everyone keeps touching it, as you can see there, it's now getting sort of overly polished.
Okay.
And so it's now
like
illuminating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is. It's like, it's look at the girth on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Incredible, isn't it?
It's incredible. But it's magnificent. It's like Dion Dublin.
It is. He's had some run-ins, hasn't he, Ronaldo, with the statues?
Yes, because he had that one that was nothing like him.
That was just woeful. It was like, no one will know this. Do you remember Art Attack?
Yes, it was. It was like
that head, wasn't it?
That head.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly like that.
Oh, Neil Buchanan.
Yeah. Neil Buchanan, God bless him. So fans can't keep their hands off Cristiano Ronaldo's statue's crotch. That was this week's disappointing headline.
That's exactly what that was like, actually. Can you put an image of that up for people? Because that's so accurate.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's really funny.
Okay, now, Flames advice. So, Rory, you're going to have to help with this.
Okay.
Hang on. So, this is actually, this is a tiny bit of advice, but basically this is a roundup of something that's been going on for quite a while. So, we had this guy called Bagel Guy.
Okay.
Right? He tried it on with this, he was going to this bagel place and there was this bagel girl who was giving him extra schmear on his bagel.
Beautiful.
And he was like, he fancied her, but he was getting more schmear. Did he want to upset that by asking her out? He decided he was going to ask her out after speaking to us, of course, on the podcast, and we said go for it. So he tried to go for it, but he said, oh, can I get you a coffee? And she went, oh no, we get coffee for free here.
Oh,
so that was a bit awkward. Anyway, we were like, you gotta go for it again, be a bit more, He then had an episode with her, like in a sort of shopping centre or a car park or something. Ended up spending like, started chatting to her, then like spent 30 minutes chatting with her, and it was going really well. He thought it was going really, really well. And then, long story short, she then said, "My friend, oh, you'd be great for my friend."
Oh, mate.
And he so.
Oh, God.
But he felt like there'd been a bit of a connection. And she was like, he went, "Oh, no, I wanted to ask you out." And then it was a bit awkward. And so he then said, "That's it. That's enough."
Yeah, he's correct.
Flav disagreed. Flav was like, "It's not over. You've got to fight for this.
No.
You've had a great 30 minutes of chat there.
No.
There's something going on there." Now, no. Two people have offered different things, right? So one is Moloch125. So great pod as always, boys. Thank you. "But I've got a bone to pick with you. That bit of advice you gave our bagel shop lover boy is off base. He's already told her flat out that he wants to date her, and she tastefully deflected by suggesting to hook him up with a friend."
Yep.
"Translation, I personally am not interested in dating you, but here's someone who might be. Our boy has got to take a hint and leave well enough alone or risk being a pest." It goes on.
Correct.
Sidney Fisher, though, says, "Come on, bagel guy, you've got to do this. You can do this. Don't give up yet. Have one more go at it. Just one more."
No. Do you know
Tyler
why
Tyler Norton, Sydney... bagel guy, is in with a real shout there. You'd have to go back and watch the whole thing.
But
there's
mate,
an element
do you know what Sidney Fisher here is doing? He wants
the entertainment, doesn't
he? Like you do.
A little bit.
Like you do. Of course, Sidney Fisher is suggesting that you go back because he wants to hear more of the story, and it's funny. But no,
we're not like this. This community is not like that, Roy.
It is.
It's not.
Every community is like that because it is funny. It's not subjectively funny. This is funny.
You'd be surprised. Someone wrote, "Oh, everything's going. Just checking in. Everything's going really well for me at the moment. I'm going to propose to my girlfriend next week." And then someone else went, "Oh, brilliant, mate. Let us know how you get on." Like they're chatting with each other. It's brilliant.
James, there is no way that this girl is interested in this bagel guy.
Okay. Well, bagel guy said this. And then I will give the final advice to an independent party and yourself.
Okay.
VTalk said, "Just checking in, guys. I'm not in town as I'm visiting my family for the holidays. I think it comes as a much needed break. When I come back next year, I will try one last time and go balls out as you suggested, as I'm at a point where I have nothing to lose. Anyway, happy holidays. Cheers." Now, should he abort the mission? Or
yes.
Just one last go?
No, she's made it patently obvious that she is not interested. When he said, "Can I get you the coffee?" If she was into him, that was enough.
She knew what he meant, yeah.
She knew what he meant. She's not a moron. She knew what he meant.
She is a moron.
The coffee, when you ask someone out, the drink is irrelevant. It's the process.
Right.
"Can I take you for a coffee?" You don't need to have a coffee, do you? You can have anything. You can have a gin and tonic for all I care.
Make a good point.
"I'm sorry, bagel guy. I wish you..." What you should do, my advice, meet the mate. Meet the mate. The story continues. That way, Sidney Fisher's happy. Everyone wins. The story's not finished. It's just changing direction. Sorry, have I blown your narrative?
No. There's a really cracking Flames advice in the comments last week, which I'm going to read next week. Mm-hmm. So don't worry about it, guys. Loads of entertainment stuff to come. But we care about VTalks. I don't see the harm in having one last go.
No, there's never a harm. There's never harm as long as
you just respectfully do it.
No, there's never harm.
Yeah, but the other guy's saying, "You're." What's he saying?
It's never happening, is it?
If our boy follows your advice, the first guy follows your advice and takes another run at it, then he's gonna wind up coming off as that prick who won't take no for an answer.
If he's not already that guy,
that she really dreads running into, and that's a bad look.
Yeah, she'll be quitting her job.
Then there's a new girl.
Then there's exactly.
Exactly. Story continues. Okay, Roy says, "Don't do it." Either way, let us know what you do. Let us know in the comments below. Rory, it's been a pleasure, mate.
James, thank you.
Nice to have a natter.
It is.
Lots of Chelsea chat there.
It is.
Where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter called Chelsea Rory.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about the channel?
And on YouTube. And on YouTube called CFC Fan TV.
There you go. If you don't subscribe to us on iTunes, then go and do that right now because that's good for the podcast, isn't it? Like this video if you haven't yet, and let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Make sure you check in as well. Flav will be back next week, unfortunately, because I've enjoyed this. I do like Flav as well. So we'll see you next week. Subscribe to Wall Street. Ta-da.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.